The M25, but he has made it in, and I'm joined in the studio by Damien Carruthers from Serenade the Stars. They're a four-piece acoustic indie pop rock band from Bucks, and they've got an ambitious project which will combine music, art and film. So we're going to talk through the band members, and it's really nice to see you, and I think both the tracks I've heard are very, very good and classy.
Thank you very much. I like the word classy, and I love the fact that you think the tracks are classy. Yeah. It makes me very happy today. It got track of the week last week on our Mix 96. It's been picked up by the BBC, which is really, really, really cool.
Ooh. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. clearly, this is
the highlight of your
Phoenix FM is everything we dreamed for as a band. Yeah. You know, when I started out music at 12 years old, I thought if I could just get on Phoenix FM,
that's it.
I've made it, and here I am.
And you got a nice see. If you go to the BBC, they give you a mug of tea and then take it away straight away. You don't even get to keep a mug.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't want to go on a BBC, you know, after hearing that.
Yeah,
I think
don't even go. Talk about the band members, because it's yourself on guitar.
Yes.
Then you've got Matthew Harmon on vocals, James Wrigley, I love that name, guitar, bass, ukulele and mandolin, James Burton on percussion as well. So how did you all get together?
It's a kind of weird story. So I was in a band a couple of years ago. I've been in a lot of bands through my life, but a few years ago I was in a band and I was recording music with someone else, and I met James Burton on a night out. He was a friend of David Pickup, who I was in a band with. And he told me he was a producer and he was in another band. And we kind of, you know, hit it off then on a night out over a mutual lover's cars. So I like cars and he likes cars. And so we chatted about that. He was in a band with James Wrigley. And I played a gig with them in High Wycombe at the Swan, which is a theatre there. And I thought that guy's a really good guitarist, you know, and a good musician. I like to play at some point with him. So we kind of like left it there and I didn't speak to them. And then out of the blue, last year, towards the end of last year, I get a phone call and it's like, hey, it's James Wrigley. You know, we've met once. Do you want to come in and record some music with us? And I just said yes straight away. And we called in David Pickup, who was our, you know, a mutual friend back then, to come and sing with us. And we recorded a track called Counting Stars, which is it's quite a personal song to me. I wrote the song years ago.
Yeah.
And it was about a breakup I went through, and it was kind of, writing that song was a huge healing process for me. I found it very therapeutic, and it got everything out there. And recorded that song with David Pickup in December, it would have been last year. We recorded the song, and just as we were finishing the song, David was killed in a hit and run in High Wycombe. So he never got to hear the finished version. And so the first time we all sat together and heard the song was kind of a magical moment. And hearing that song and hearing his voice on the song, it's probably the best I've ever heard him sing, so, you know, he's done us all proud. Listen to the song, but
what a cracking voice.
He had the most incredible voice ever, you know. The guy was amazing, and Dave was a great guy, you know. And I gave up on music for a long time, and the way we met, we moved into a house together, and he didn't know I played, you know, guitar, and I didn't know he was a singer. And one day I brought the guitar down and he started singing, and then somebody offered us a gig through hearing that, and we kind of became a band, and we toured all over the UK. So meeting him changed my life, and, you know, not having him around anymore is difficult, but I'm thankful for the fact that I met him and everything he kind of gave me with music. He gave me back the gift of music, so that's a very positive thing, I think.
With the band now, you obviously took quite a while to, you had to get a replacement for David.
Yes.
So who is now singing lead with the band? Because the song we're going to play, not quite yet, but in a while, will feature the new vocalist.
So the guy now is a guy called Matthew Harmon, and the song that we're going to hear, which is going to be the first single on the album, She's the One, I started writing with Dave back early, last October it would have been, and he was doing such a good job, and I thought this song's going to be great. I was loving where it was going, and then obviously when he passed away, we didn't know what to do musically, and I knew I wanted to go in and record this song, but the kind of mutual feeling between myself and James and the other James was, who do we get into, you know, to sing on this song? We need someone incredible, and where do we find somebody like that? And I went to an open mic night and I met this guy called Matt there, and, you know, had a chat with him and saw him, thought that was cool. And then he uploaded a video on Facebook of him singing and playing piano. And the moment I saw that, I thought, I need to get this guy in the studio. Mm. And I need him on the track. And I dropped him a message thinking, you know, crossing my fingers, is he going to be up for doing this? And he said yes. Mm. And he came in and he had a cold. He wasn't very well at the time. And he just absolutely destroyed it. And the first time we heard his vocals, the three of us looked at each other and we thought, this is our guy, you know, we have to get this guy in. And he was really into what we were doing. And he was such a perfect fit, you know, with the band. He gets along with all of us. He's got a similar sense of humour. He is one of the most loving people you will meet. Mm. And he has such a passion for music. And, you know, I feel like it's fate. We met for a reason.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we did. And I'm really excited to see where the future goes, you know, with Matt and the other guys. Because at the moment, we are making probably the best music I've ever made. And I feel kind of the happiest I've ever been with my music. So, yeah, I'm so glad I met all of the guys, to be honest.
Are you kind of like the Chris Martin of the band when it comes to writing? Do you actually write stuff on the guitar, do the vocals, and then take it down to the band and say, Ed, let's do this as a band, or does it work differently?
Every song is different. For She's the One, I wrote the music and I wrote some of the lyrics with Dave, and then I finished the song by myself. So I had to write the majority of that song, music and lyrically, myself. And I do that with quite a few other songs, but I might come up with a chord progression or something. I'll take that into the studio. And James Wrigley is the most amazing musician I've ever met. You know, I wrote this kind of song and a chorus on the guitar. And I took it into those guys and I said, I love this song, but I want it to have like a country campfire feel to it. So I played it on the guitar to them and we laid it down. And then James goes behind the sofa and pulls out like a ukulele. And he's playing ukulele over the song and it sounded amazing. And then he put that away and he pulled out a mandolin. Mm. And he starts playing the mandolin to the song. And these kind of really intricate riffs on the mandolin that went so well with it. And James Burton does the producing and is a really good producer, and they work as such a good team together. But it's a different process for every song. Sometimes I'll have a very clear, you know, image in my mind of how I want the song to go and where I want it to go and the lyrics. Other times I'll take it into those guys and say, this is an open book, you know. And I do value their opinion on songwriting, and they are huge talents all in their own right. You know, everyone is equal in the band. I might write the stuff and pull everyone together, but everyone has an equal input. And I certainly wouldn't say to them, no, I'm not, I don't, you know, want your input into that. I want them to kind of feel that they're, you know, exploring their artistic abilities as well, and they're getting that creative outlet. And I think that's important in a band. You need someone that kind of takes a step forward and leads a little bit, but everyone in that band needs to feel like they're important, and they need that outlet for their art, and they need to be able to write music and put their bit
especially
in,
especially the drummer.
Yeah.
For some reason, people are not very... And they leave them to pack away at the end of the gig and they go home. And that's it. You go, but I've got my guitar, see you later. And they're there with, like, 18 drums packing away. It's late into the night. That's what I normally say, always help the drummer.
Yeah, it's the singer gets the easiest job, really. You've got to carry a microphone. whereas guitar's not too bad. I'm acoustic, so I just have to carry a guitar around. But drums, you have to carry around everything. You need basically a lorry to carry all the drum stuff in there.
And setting up as well for recording. It's one of the... if you don't have the right bass and drummer, everything else falls to pieces.
It is essential. If you look at all the great bands out there, you'll find that they all have a great drummer. And finding a great drummer is hard. Mm. It's not an easy task. And I feel lucky that we've got... You know, James Burton did all the percussion on this for us and all his bits. So it's like I say, we are very lucky to be working with these people.
Now, you've got your debut album. I can't say the word debut properly, but there we go, which is coming out autumn of 2018. And it's got music, art and film and storytelling all in one project you're doing. So it isn't just the music. This is a big project.
It's huge. I've always had an interest. I love films, you know. I'm absolutely obsessed with watching films, and recently as well, art. And this idea came to me 4 or 5 years ago. I wanted to combine art and music, so I wanted to put the two together. Mm. And I tried working with someone else, and it didn't really work. And then I came together with these guys, and James Wrigley actually said, you know, I know this person, this artist, and she's awesome. Why don't you, you know, give her a call? So I contacted her, and she did a painting for me, and it all kind of tied together, and it was where we wanted to go. And she'll be doing, you know, the whole art for the whole album. And there'll be a painting for every single song on the album. And every song is based on an event or a feeling in my life. So it's almost like a musical autobiography. And it's very much focused on dreams as well. I'm quite big on dreams and things like that. So it's almost set in the real world and in the dream world. So there are no boundaries, and the paintings will reflect on that. And there'll be subtle hints that actually this is taking place in a dream. And you know, and this bit's in reality. So it's kind of going to be very different. As far as I'm aware, there's nothing out there like this at the moment. And as I said, I love films. So once we get those two tied together and the album's finished, the whole thing will be turned into a film. And we have a guy called Zach, who plays in a band called The Wild Lies, who are cool. They just went on tour, I think, with Iron Maiden. And they're all over the UK, and they're quite a big band. And I've been friends with Zach for a while, and he's such a kind spirit and, you know, really good with the camera as well. So to have him on board with the project is awesome, you know. And part of what I'm doing, I want to get people involved in this project that are like family, and that's what we are. We're kind of one big family pulling this project together, and it seems to be working out for us, you know, so far. But the film, in essence, is going to be a series of 12 music videos that all tie in together, but each video will play out kind of like an act in a play. I have no idea like how the end result is going to look at the moment, but it's something I'm really excited to be doing. And
you can tell because your eyes are shining when you're talking. Sometimes you get people who've been in a band for a while and they've got that kind of look of doom when they come in, because you know, you've got all guys together, or whether it's girls in the band, but you get like this kind of, that way you get these little cliques that happen within the band, because you know, I didn't like that bit, I don't want to play that, but you've not got any of that. You've just got a real happiness for working with the guys. And
definitely 100%. I feel so positive about the whole project, and I'm so happy doing it. And like I said, the last band I was in before this, I didn't have that feeling. It was very much a stress to be involved with the last band, and this one is such a pleasure to be part of. And I just have such a strong feeling that it's we're doing it for a purpose. There's a reason why we're doing it. I don't know whether it's because we're going to do well, or it's about me getting these feelings and emotions out. And you know, it's almost a form of therapy, but I know that this is where I'm supposed to be right now in my life, and I'm supposed to be doing this project.
Now, your best lyric, I always ask musicians this, what is the lyric that you've written? You've gone, that is classy, fantastic.
Do you know, I'm going to go from the new one, She's the One. I struggled, after losing Dave, it was a tricky one. And when I sat down to write the lyrics, I thought, where do I go with this? And it's a bit of a weird one. I sat down and I had like a nice bottle of whiskey, and I poured two shots of whiskey out. I thought, right, Dave.
That's a very small bottle, the way you were doing that. big bottles,
I didn't drink the whole thing, but I poured two shots out, and I had my pad down there, and I thought, right, I'll do a drink for me, and I'll do one for Dave, just to say, like, you know what I mean? Here's to you, Dave. I'm going to finish this song. And the lyrics kind of just came out. And the second verse opens up with lyrics. It starts with, she dreams in colour, but does she dream of me? And as I said, I'm really big on dreams. And for me, that lyric, I really like that lyric. And it's not, you know, the most metaphorical lyric you'll ever hear, but it's something I really like, and I love it in that song.
And what's the song out of all the songs in the world you wish you'd have written?
I would go with Stand By Me by Benny King, which is probably the best song ever. You know, it's such an awesome song. It's got so much soul to it. It's like the perfect song. And there's a lot of emotion in there as well. His voice has so much emotion when he's singing the song, and you can get lost in that song, and it's timeless.
Yeah.
You know, how long ago is that song recorded, and people still play that song, and they still listen to the song now. You know, it's never going to get old. In 100 years' time, people will be listening to that song. And that's, I guess, what we're trying to aim for with our music. We want it to be timeless. A lot of producers I've worked with have said, you know, let's do this, it's current, we'll go in with this and put this noise in there. Let's go dubstep. And it's like, you know, in 2 years' time, you're going to listen to dubstep anymore. Do people still listen to it now? I don't know. But
not here.
Yeah. It's about being current, I think. About being timeless. And that's where we aim to go with our music, because, you know, bands like the Beatles, timeless, you'll still be listening to them in 100 years, I think. More recently, Oasis, the music's great. You know, Benny King, the Righteous Brothers, I'm listening to at the moment, which I'm absolutely loving. I've got a thing for Cyndi Lauper as well. Her music, I think that's kind of timeless. It's just great music, and that's kind of where I want to go with my music. I'd like it to be timeless, and if somebody's still listening to it in 10 years' time, then I'd be really, really happy. We do have a festival book for next year, which is in Buckinghamshire, which is going to be really, really cool. So we've got to play main stage, and there'll be a decent crowd there, you know, which is kind of where we want to go. I think we're going to aim to possibly get on some other there's the Penn Festival, which is near us, that I'd really like to get on board with. So if anyone is listening right now that organises that festival, just hit me up on Facebook and we'll talk. But yeah, I'd like to do Glastonbury, which is on this year, but next year I'd love to get involved with Glastonbury. Reading Festival has always been one of those that I've gone to when I was younger and would love to play that one. But I'm really kind of appreciative for any gig I can get that's like that, where people turn up and they like your music and they are feeling your music and you're making a difference to someone's lives and you know, and they're feeding off the emotion of being on stage. So anything we can do is good news. Yes, so the single, I really should have said this earlier, so the single today is up on iTunes for pre-order. Now, we need to sell as many copies of this on iTunes as possible. So please, please, please search on iTunes for Serenade the Stars, She's the One. That is up from today. It should be up now. The single is actually released on December the 1st. So for Christmas, it would be amazing if we broke into the iTunes charts. That's all I want for Christmas. Well, I probably want a lot more than that, actually. You know. So if you're listening to this and you know me, don't not buy me a present. Yeah. Buy me a present and buy the single. That's kind of where I want to go with it, but yeah, please.
And support your music as well. I keep saying this, do not download things for free. Musicians are entitled to earn a living and they put in so much energy. And, you know, when you're looking now at tracks being like 79 pence or 99 pence, it means a lot for people to buy music.
It does, actually. I'm quite lucky with the people I have around me. They are so supportive, you know. Anything from ringing Michelle to come and listen to me on the radio, and I've got my friend Lindsay listening in on the radio, and I forgot to tell my mum I was on. I should have done that, really. But the people I have around me and are so supportive and of what I do and so into, you know, everything that I do and interested in it, and they help me out when I need help and they listen to the music and everything else. So I feel very blessed and lucky for the people that I have around me, and if I could grow, you know, that group of people to people that buy my music and you know, talk to me and say hi, that would be absolutely amazing.
Well, thank you for coming down today. I know it's been a horrendous journey. You want to spend the afternoon in Brentwood, maybe go to the pub.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure to come on, actually, and we would love to come back on possibly and play with Matt, because I know Matt was really gutted he couldn't come on, he had to work. Yeah. And yeah, he sent me a good luck message earlier on saying, I hope you go well, and maybe he's even listening in, you never know. But yeah, if he is, hi Matt, hi James, and James, if you're listening in, like, thank you very much for the music. Thank you so much to Phoenix FM for having us. And we hopefully we'll come back.
And hopefully we'll get this on the A-list, because it's a brilliant track. Here are Serenade the Stars, and this track is called She's the One.